good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. We are so grateful for what Jesus has done for us on that cross.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I hope Dave learned a good lesson here. He asked somebody for a Bible, and they handed him one, and it's about a 2 font. My goodness. He said, Pastor, can you read this? I said, wow, I can't even read that. No way I could read that. It's a tiny little thing. I understand why he got his light out. Wow. How many of you know when you get a little bit more up in age, sometimes if you got a little more light, you can see them words better, right? Oh, goodness. One day we were driving down the road in Virginia, and somebody wanted me to read something in the Bible, and they had it open, and it was a Bible like this one. Tiny, tiny little bitty print. And they handed it back to Cheryl, and Cheryl looked at it, and she said, I can't read that. And the light was shining right, the sun was shining right on the page. I said, well, honey, I can read it. She said, you can't read that. I said, let me have it. And with the light coming through the window, shining right on it, it was beautiful. It was like it was amplified. I mean, I could read every word. She said, I can't believe you can read that. I said, well, I can. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, that was a little one you've got. I will say that's a little bitty print. If you can read that, you got extremely good eyes. Praise the Lord. So keep claiming that and keep blessing the Lord. Yes, I praise the Lord. We had a great time the last couple of days. We fly in airplanes because they're so fast, you know, compared to driving. So we went commercial because for the simple reason that we pay for nearly everything we buy for the ministry with a credit card, and then we get credit for that, you know, on American Miles, on the Advantage program. And so, you know, we go a lot on American, and it don't cost us but, you know, $5 or $10 a ticket to go. So I bought Jeff and Dave and me a ticket to go out there and back. And what it cost, honey? $15? $15. $15, you know, to go out to Albuquerque. And I thought it would be wonderful. We have our own airplane. God give us our own airplane so we could fly it, and it'd take us about an hour longer to make that trip. Instead of flying 500 miles an hour, we fly about 225 or 250. But when I looked at the difference in fuel on our airplane with the cost of aviation fuel from here to Albuquerque and back, cost $1,500. So if I can go out there and back for $15, which one I'm gonna take? It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which one I'm gonna use. I used Advantage Miles. Well, we got out there, it took us an hour and 20 minutes to fly to Albuquerque. And so we get off the airplane and go to the hotel. We get up the next morning at 6 o'clock for breakfast. And then we leave there a little after 7, and we drive 2.5 hours to get to the reservation. So we fly 1 hour and 20 minutes to get all the way to Albuquerque, and from Albuquerque to the reservation take 2.5 hours. So we started out early that morning, and then we went out there, and then we sat through classes and taught the Word of God and everything till 5:30 or 6 o'clock that afternoon. And then we drove 2.5 hours back to Albuquerque. And we stayed in a hotel because there were no airplanes would leave that late at night. So from Albuquerque to here. So when I got to the hotel that night, I went to hit the sack. So this is the first and only time so far I've ever done this. But it was pretty close to 11. And I think that was our time. I don't remember which clock I was looking at. But anyway, about 11 out there. And to get here to preach the message today, I had to start at a few minutes after 4 out there this morning. So me and Dave and Jeff all got up about 4 o'clock. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of, to go to bed at 11 and then get up at 4, that's not a very long night, you know? So I don't know about you, but I don't like to have that short of a night. So I called my honey bunny at 11 when I got back, because when I called her, I said, hi, honey, this is your honey bunny. I said, I'm going to bed. Good night. Love you. Click. I said, I'm going to bed and going to sleep. Don't call me back. Click. And let me tell you, 4 o'clock in the morning came awful early this morning. And so we went out, got on the airplane and caught the flight and came here and got here at 9 o'clock and or about 9 o'clock. So, I think that's about what time it was. So it's been a busy day already to start out at 4 o'clock. But anyway, we wanted to be here. So we had a good time out there. And as usual, you know, I teach the Word of God like God revealed it to me. And I will have to say that some of the people there were amazed. In fact, I asked the question that I usually ask, how many of you believe that God would make you sick? And nobody. The only people that would held their hand up was people that had been listening to me for 4 or 5 years. And then the only one or two out of the whole bunch. And I said, so you don't believe God will make you sick? They said, no. I said, what if I could show you in the Word where He will? And they don't know how to take this. And so when you take them to the Word and you show them where you sin, God clearly says He will make you sick. That's kind of amazing to most people because most people have never seen that in the Word. They don't realize the power we have if we walk in obedience. Now, when I ask the question, how many of y'all would like for God to bless you? Well, guess how many hands went up? All the hands go up. Yes, everybody's hands goes up. Everybody wants to be blessed of God. Well, how many would like to do something a little bit mean and see God judge you? Oh, no, no, nobody. Don't have no takers on that one. And that's the way it should be. You know, and we don't want that. We do not want that. So I told him, I said, well, one thing about it, the Bible, if you read it with an open mind, the Bible is full of awesome promises. I mean, it's just full of it, isn't it? It's completely full of awesome promises. But I said, if you disobey God, it's also got a lot of promises in there that you won't like. And they said, somebody said, well, what do you mean a promise that I won't like? Well, you know, somebody says, you know, if God made me a promise, I will like it. No, that's not necessarily true. You know, so, and I'll show you what I'm going to, before I get really into my message today, I'm going to take you to a scripture, Hebrews 13:4. Now, this is a promise from God. Now, I want you to just look at this and see that you won't like this. Look at this. Marriage is honorable in all. Now, we like that, don't we? Yeah, we like it because God honored marriage. And the marriage bed is undefiled. So there's not anything wrong with a man and a woman that's married going to bed together. You know, that's okay. God blessed that. He's the one that made it. He's the one that said to man, it's not good that the man should live alone. He made the woman as a helpmate, and then He made him where he needs that woman. And so God says the marriage bed is undefiled. But whoremongers. Now, what's a whoremonger? That's a pervert. That's a homosexual. A homosexual and adulterers. Now, we don't know anybody in the church that ever done any adultery, do we? We ever heard of anybody that committed adultery? Oh, my goodness gracious, alive. You know, really, adultery is rampant in the church today. It really is. There is so many people that's living with people out of wedlock. And I don't know whether I just happen to get one of them every time I go somewhere in a place of business. I talk to somebody, hi, are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? Well, yeah, some. I said, well, how's things going in your life? Well, everything's going good. I just had my second baby. Oh, praise God. How long you and your husband been married? I'm not married. What? You're sleeping with a guy and getting pregnant and you call yourself a Christian? Oh, who are you to judge me? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. And the Lord told me to judge you. And boy, they get mad. Boy, they get mad. I said, but you know, honey, this is, well, you, if you loved me, you wouldn't tell me this. I said, you know, if I didn't love you, if I didn't love you, I'd just let you go on and do what you're doing. But because I do love you, I want to tell you the truth, because look at this promise that God put in His Word. But the whoremonger and the adulterers, God will bless. Oh, that's not what He said? Not in your Bible, huh? So what did He say He would do to the? He will judge you. And you know, I don't think you're going to like it. So, you know, if I can tell you what God says and you can change and turn from your wicked ways. Now, I want to take you to the last couple of verses in James 5. And I want to show you in about verse 17 or 18, 19, 20, James 5. I want you to see this. Look what it says here. James 5. And see what God told us to do. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now then, do you know, when you see these kind of scriptures, you learn something. You learn that God needs a man on the earth to get his work done. You know, God needs a man. Now, why, if God gave us the earth, and if he didn't need us, why would he ask this man to pray for it not to rain? Why didn't God just say, I ain't going to give you no rain? Why didn't he do that? But no, he needed a man to pray so that he could answer that prayer. And this is what he did. He just think. Now, if this man is a man just like you and me, if he could pray that it will not rain for the space of 3.5 years and it doesn't rain, you know, if he let this man do this, if God tells you to pray about something, what do you believe you should do? You should do it. That's right. Because if God tells you to do something, in other words, I don't believe you can run out there and pray and just say, Lord, I ask you to make it rain. Or I ask you not to make it rain. I don't believe he's going to hear that prayer. Just because you want to see him do something. You know, there needs to be a reason for that. But look what he says here. But it might not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Okay, now then, right there on this, I want us to stop right here. And this man of God prayed for it to rain. Or first of all, he prayed for it not to rain, and it didn't rain. But then when he did pray for rain, what happened? Are we in a state right now where we need some rain? Amen. Y'all all with me, right? You notice the ground's cracking open? You notice the pavements around here are getting rough because they're cracking underground and falling in? Now then, today we're on this side of the cross. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So when we humble ourselves as a group, now we've done this before. Here, in fact, I remember the last awesome time, but maybe, a year or two ago, when it got so bad and everything was burning in Texas, we had all these things, we finally decided to pray for rain, and we prayed, Lord, we need rain. And anybody remember that first week, how much rain we got? Just a little rain, you know, maybe a tenth or a quarter or something. And so next Sunday, we're praising the Lord for the rain because it cooled things off, and we're asking him again the next Sunday for another rain. And that week, we got about, a half inch or something like that. And we did this for 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and we got a little rain every time we prayed. Did we not? Amen. It hadn't rained in months. And now every time we pray, we're getting a little rain. So that final Sunday, I said, okay, Lord, I know you're a faith God. Now, Lord, we're tired of these little quarter inch and these little traces of rain. Lord, we know that you're a serious God of faith. So, Lord, we need at least 6 inches of rain. Is that what we prayed for? At least 6 inches of rain. Now, then the king said to the person, well, y'all finally told me what you want. He said, y'all been praying for rain? And did he send us a rain? He sent us rain, but just a little. It wasn't enough to do anything, but it helped a little. So that final Sunday, we all agreed in prayer that the Lord would send us at least 6 inches of good, slow rain over a couple of day period. And does anybody remember what happened?
It rained.
Wow. We got anywhere from 6 to 8 inches of rain that week. Y'all remember that?
Amen.
Oh, it was a coincidence, though. You know, God doesn't answer prayer. Oh, you ain't going to never believe that, are you? In other words, the God that we serve, if he let this man pray for rain and it rained, then if we pray in faith, now remember, when we ask, we got to believe, right? And we got to ask him to do it. Now, there's a couple of things that's on my heart. Number one is the rain. We really need some rain. You know, our tanks are getting low. The grass is not very good. And I'm sure this is just your house, just like it is at my house. Everywhere I go in the Metroplex area, we're pretty low on rain. Now, I know the other thing, Michael and Gracie, they must be living better than the rest of us, because here a while back, he got, 3 inches whenever everybody else got a little? Yeah, he'd be crazy down to where they live in Bedford. Or where, y'all got 3 inches of rain. Is that right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Well, I see, I don't know what they're doing that's different than the rest of us. But we need to find out what they're doing that's different. I think maybe they're praying more than we are. And that may be the case. But what I want us to do, and I've got a couple of prayer requests here now. I want us to pray for rain because we do. Everybody, we all need rain, right? Now, I want us to ask the Lord to give us at least 3 or 4 inches of rain or whatever you can have faith for, okay? I want you to ask whatever you want, but we're going to believe God for at least 3 or 4 inches of rain. That's one thing I want to pray for. And then I want us to pray for the Lord to protect us and Israel and Syria and from our government. You know, I don't want to see a cruise missile fired in Damascus. You know, I don't want to see missiles fired into Syria. I mean, those human beings over there are just like you and me. We got a group of people in government that's against each other, but them human beings are flesh and blood just like us. And those men and women, most of them don't want to die. Is that right? Yeah, they don't want to die just like we don't want to die. We want to live out our full life. So we need to ask the Lord to do that. And then we need to ask the Lord to protect Israel and keep her safe. Because that's scripture. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Is that right?
Amen.
So all these things are scripture. But if we don't pray, guess what we don't get? Nothing. I mean, God does not answer prayers that you don't pray. And so if we don't pray, but when we pray, what does he do? Does he answer prayer?
Amen.
Oh, does he answer prayer? So in the next few minutes, I would like, I don't know who, let me just say, I will pray. I'll pray first for this. And then I'd like to say, men or women, I don't care which one. I'd like for somebody, at least 3 or 4 of you, that would be willing to hold up your hand and say, after you pray, Pastor Thurman, I will pray. Okay, Brother Bill, he's going to pray. And then who else? Okay, Kim's going to pray. And then, okay, back here. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so back there. Okay, so now that, and then after that, if anybody decides that after we, those that have said they will pray, after we pray, if there's somebody else that wants to pray, I'll give you a few seconds after the last one. And if you want to pray, just jump right in there and pray too. You know, because we know God answers prayer, doesn't he?
Amen.
And the more of us that praise him and worship him, I think that he'll hear our prayer just like he did last year or year before last when he sent us that 6 to 8 inches of rain and filled up the lakes. And I just praise him for that. But I know he can do that again. I was over at Bridgeport this last week and their lake at Bridgeport is almost 20 feet below normal level. Now, you talk about a hole that ain't got no water in it. That's a big hole. They're almost 20 foot below normal level. So is it time to pray?
Yeah.
You know what the Lord would say? It was time to pray a long time ago. Yeah, but we didn't do it. So if you would be in agreement with me. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, first I want to really ask you we want a good 3 or 4 inch rain, Lord. Maybe 5 would be wonderful, but Lord, at least 3 to 5 inches of rain. And we need it slow over a couple of days where it'll soak in, soak up the soil and the cracks will all close up, where the ground will get watered and there'll be some groundwater for the grass to grow, the trees to get watered, and that we'll have water to drink because, Lord, we need water. We can't live without water. And so, Lord, and then for I ask you to be with our government, with the Syrian government, with the Israeli government, and ask you to give those men knowledge and wisdom. Send your angels to protect all of them and keep them from going to war over there, Lord. We do not want these countries to go to war. Lord, war always kills lots of people, and we don't want them to get killed. We want them to live out their life. And then, Lord, all the men and women from our president down that don't know you, I ask you to move by the power of your spirit and begin to convict those people of sin and draw them into the kingdom of God and gloriously save them. Lord, we need men and women in office that knows you and is not ashamed of you and will be willing to proclaim the faith that they know, and it's Jesus Christ. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for watching over Israel now and protecting her. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and whoever...
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Lord, we repent, all of us today, for any and all sins we might have committed up to the very moment that we're coming to you in prayer this morning, so the slate can be wiped clean, Lord, so that our prayer will be heard, Lord, and unabated. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for hearing us today.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father God, for knowing that according to your word it is written, when two or three or more are gathered in your name, that you're in our presence.
Yes, Lord.
We invite the Holy Spirit to be in our presence. We invite you, Jesus, to hear what we have and the request that we make today, that you would go forth, Father God, and release the rain that's needed in our area, Lord. You know where it's needed most, Lord. You know more than we know about it. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, we know we can stand on Matthew 18:19, Lord, and we love to quote it, Father, because it says when we come to you, if any two is touching anything on earth, we shall have what we ask for in John 15:7, Lord, says we can ask you anything if we abide in you and your word abide in us. Father God, this is a word church. The
Amen.
Word abides in us. The word stays in us. Your love, Father God, is always such, Father God, that we give you all of our heart today. Not a small percent, but all of it. And request that we together can depend on this prayer going forth, Father God, and being acted upon. Lord, we fasted before when we got the great results. Lord, and I pray, Father God, right now that we be, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would move upon some of us, Lord, to fast and to pray for this continued event.
Yes, Lord.
We don't ask in amiss, Lord. We ask seriously. You say the prayers of a fervent person, Lord, the prayer is heard. And Lord, we're fervent in our prayer to you. We come before you as children, oh Lord God. We don't come boastfully, Lord. We come in respect. Because, Lord, we know who you are.
Yes, Lord.
We know who we are, Lord. And I pray that you'll look into our hearts and know that we're sincere. Lord, as far as our country is concerned, Lord, and as far as any actions that are taking place overseas, God, I realize and I know, Lord, that you know all things. And, Lord, as we think about the people in Syria and the ones that have been gassed and the ones that have been harmed and the ones that will be harmed from more activity of any kind of military action, Lord, I place this before you, Lord, for the right thing to be done. Lord, and I know, Lord, that we have an enemy, Lord, that comes against anything that we ask for more now than ever before. And I take authority according to Matthew 18:18, as well as do all of us, Lord, in your corporate prayer to bind up that enemy. That
yes, Lord.
By this way, any and all things that are done that are not lined up with you and your word and your desire, God. Lord, we want your way always. And we're going to give you the glory and the praise. And Lord, the manifestation of what happens, Lord, is totally in your hands. Father, we know that your love is such that you'll hear our prayer this morning. You act upon it. You're a faithful God. You will not let us down, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that whatever plans that have been brought forth before the people of America and before the people of the world, Father God, will be answered in a way that will please you, Lord, and not the way that our adversary, the devil himself, and all the demons would want it to happen. And Lord, I thank you for this. I praise you for this. Lord, and we give you all the glory and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, we just come to you right now. We just thank you that you are here in our midst. And Lord, you said in your word that John 20:23, we can remit all the sins that have gone on in this community, in this state, in this country. Lord, we just thank you for that. That promise is so awesome. And we thank you for the rains that you're sending, that it will just fill all this whole area. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. Get all the glory and honor when that rain comes down in just a little bit, because I know it's coming right now. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for Israel, that you protect her. Lord, we again come to you with John 20:23. We remit the sins of those that have tried to attack you, attack your loving, peaceful land. We ask for shalom peace in that whole community. As you said, like we've heard, Matthew 18:19, where two or more are gathered in your name, that we can ask for anything, just like John 14:13-14. Lord, you gave us these promises, and we're claiming these promises right now. And we know that they are true. And James 1:5 says, we come boldly, Lord, to your throne. And we just thank you that we can come boldly and that you want us to be bold. You told us to be bold. So we just thank you for that. We thank you for all these blessings in your son's precious holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I stand in agreement with Brother Thurman and our other brothers and sisters all gathered here today. We have come to you in the name of Jesus, and that name, that is the name that is above every name, the name above sin, the name above unrighteousness, the name above war, the name above sickness. We thank you, Father. We ask you for repentance for this country and for those in Israel and all over the world. You would show forth your goodness, that you would bring rain to us where we need rain, that you would bring peace to us where we need peace. Show forth your goodness that would lead men to repentance. We ask you that peradventure you would grant us repentance for our nation especially, and that you would be glorified in us, that the kingdom of God is established here in our nation, and that peace would reign on the earth. We thank you that you've given us repentance, that we've repented of our own sins, and that your goodness is showing forth. We just stand in agreement now in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, praise the Lord. Now then, how many of you believe God's going to send rain this week? Okay, praise the Lord. Man, that's faith. We want the Lord to know. He says, when I return to the earth, will I find faith on the earth? Amen. He's going to find it in this church, isn't he?
Amen.
When he comes back, we believe him. Okay, let's go to the next verse here on verse 19 and 20. I'm going to show you something to fulfill what we read there a while ago about the adultery and whoremongers. It says in verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now, do you think that adultery is erring from the truth? Since we know that's a sin, we know that's a sin. God says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him, in other words, how are you going to convert him if you don't confront him? So you have to confront him, right? In other words, when people says, don't you judge me, the Bible says, "You don't you know, judge not lest you be judged." Have you ever heard that? And it's always when you're talking to somebody that's living in some kind of sin and they don't want to hear it. But the Lord says, brother, said, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now then, is that worth confronting somebody for? If you see somebody living in that adulterous affair today in the church, you need to not be ashamed to talk to them, to tell them the truth. Because here's the thing. This thing that we do is not us, but it's the Lord. So when we speak his words, his Holy Spirit can judge somebody. You know, the Holy Spirit, when we're speaking, or when we're praying for people, you know, God will move on their heart. If you're not praying for them, ain't nothing going to happen. But when you pray for them, then the Holy Spirit can move on their heart and he'll reach over there and tap on your heart and say, quit sinning. Listen to what that man's telling you. Isn't that awesome? That we have a God that can do that. When we pray, how he can move on our hearts and change us. And just look at the consequences. But let him know. First of all, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him. So we go and talk to somebody about whatever they were doing wrong, and we try to tell them what they're doing is wrong. And of course, I do that all the time with all kinds of people. And some people receive it right there, and some people get extremely mad at me. You know, Christians that are, I mean, I've had people, you know, the one time I've told you all about several times, is many years ago. There was a lady that came to my church and she said, my husband works in a ministry and I have three sons and they're all sick. Two of them have allergies and asthmas and one of them has a problem with his leg and he's probably going, within 6 months to a year, he's going to be in a wheelchair. And I said, well, you know, she said, I want you to pray for my children so they'll be healed. I said, well, ma'am, there's a reason your children are sick. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, first of all, if everybody's doing what they're supposed to, God said in his word, he'll take all sickness away from us. But I said, if we're not, then I said, he will attack us or our children. And I said, so how's you and your husband getting along? And that was a wrong thing to say. We're not. And of course, remember, he works for a church. He's on staff at a church, you know, like Dave or Jeff or whatever, you know, they're on staff. And she says, we're not getting along at all. I said, well, that's your problem. I said, that's why your children are all sick. She said, you're telling me my children are sick because of my sin of unforgiveness toward my husband? I said, yes, ma'am, that's what I'm telling you. And she said, I can't believe you. She said, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. And I said, ma'am, I do know what I'm talking about. And the more I tried to convince her, the louder she got. And by the time she got to the door, she said, you're the craziest idiot of a preacher I ever seen in my life. I said, ma'am, you ask God, he'll tell you that I know what I'm talking about. So on the way home, she's telling God, God, this preacher, he's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. And you know, it really does help when Jesus speaks. When he says, but you know, he's right. And she said, he's right. She said, yes, he knows what he's talking about. I said, you need to go back over there and find out what he knows. Then you need to do what he tells you to do. Because it's going to be my spirit speaking through Thurman. It ain't going to be me. It's going to be my words speaking through that man's mouth. And if you'll do what he says, I guarantee I'll heal your children. Well, this woman humbled herself and came back and walked in and said, you know, I did what you said. And I said, well, you asked the Lord. She said, yes. And I said, he obviously answered. She said, yes, he did. And I said, so what did he tell you to do? She said, you have my answer. I said, okay. I said, here's the problem. You have an unforgiveness toward your husband. She said, I really do have an unforgiveness toward my husband. In fact, she said, I prayed and asked God to kill him in a car wreck and make it an accident so I'd get double indemnity so I could pay off the house. Now, this is two Christian people. You tell me, would God give us one rule? And what is that rule? You reckon she's a little out of her love walk? Just a little. You don't want to wonder why her kids are all sick? Oh, Lord. So the woman came back. She repented, went home, got right with her husband, and they brought the children to me. And after she got right with her husband, got back in a love walk with her husband, I prayed for those two younger children, which both had allergies and asthmas, and both of them were instantly healed. And then I prayed for the boy that had the problem with his leg. And of course, I didn't see any change there. But a few months later, they took him in for a test, and the doctors could not believe the leg was healed too. You know, so, I mean, so that's been well over 10 years ago. And of course, that couple still comes here when they can. They're still on staff at another church, but they come every once in a while. And their testimony is back there on Testimonies of Miraculous Healing. You know, there's a couple, two or three of the 30-minute stories is about them. I took them out to GLC and had them tell their story on God's Learning Channel, and we taped it. And of course, we brought a copy of it back here for you to see. But best I remember, it's been over 10 years ago when this happened. And the last time they were here, I asked the husband, I said, has you or any of your kids been to the doctor? He said, Thurman, since my wife got right with me and we started walking together in love, he said, we were in the doctor's office at least two or three times a month. But he said, since we got right with God and my wife walked in love with me, she said, we have not been to a doctor for nothing for over 10 years. Now, our children are all sick. The one that was going to be in a wheelchair and be an invalid, he's running and playing and he's totally well. And is God awesome or is he awesome? Now, when let's look at this. When God says here, if you see someone that errs from the truth. Okay, now then, did this woman err from the truth? Did God tell her to submit to her husband in all things? Did he tell her to love him and even call him Lord? And did she not do that? No, she did not do that. She did not do what God told her to do. And so it caused her to be judged by her children. Now, the children, in fact, she had three other in that 9 years. They had, besides the three that had lived, they had three miscarriages too. So this woman made three children sick for nearly 8 years, and she killed three children because of her sin. Now that's devastating, isn't it, to think? But, you know, did God say that when he says he will judge the whoremonger and the adulterer, is that the only thing he'll judge? Oh, no, because when you come here, you find out here, he says, if any of you do err from the truth. Now, how many ways can you err from the truth? Oh, my goodness. It's endless, isn't it? There's so many things you can do to mess up on. But the Lord says, brother, if any of you do err from the truth and one converts him. Now, what are we as sons of God and daughters of God? When we see somebody that's in a situation like this, what are we to do? Pray. And then after we prayed, we go talk to them, right? We pray and we talk. We pray and we talk. And as we pray and we talk, then the Holy Spirit will convict people and bring them back into the kingdom of God. And because look what happens if we get out of this. He says, but let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Now, just think. What if you didn't pray? And what if you didn't go? But what if you knew about the person's sin? Isn't that sad? That the person dies. And all the time. You know, most of us don't even think that sin and sickness are directly related. But the Lord says here, if we get out of a love walk with Him, it could, what could it finally lead to?
Death.
So He says there, if we convert the sinner from the error of his way, it will save that person from dying. Now then, how many of y'all would like to live to be an old, healthy person? Ooh, me too. I want to live to be old and healthy. So if I want to live to be old and healthy, what are the requirements to live to be old and healthy? Walk in what?
Love.
Love. Is that right?
Yeah.
Friend, you got to walk in love? Is it worth it? It is, isn't it? If we walk in love, we get to live to be an old, healthy person. You know, I love to tell Scott and Kim's testimonies here, especially on this little girl. And, you know, we went all those years and didn't even remember this miracle that God did for this precious child. But this little girl, they adopted this little girl when she was just a little thing. I mean, about
8 months old.
And the reason they were able to get her is because they had these two beautiful boys over here, but they wanted a girl too, see? So they was looking for a girl. Cheryl and I had prayed for them for a girl and everything, and we had no idea how God was going to do it. But one day CPS called them and told them, we have a little girl down here that is adoptable. And they said, good. They said, but there's a problem. What's the problem? Well, the doctors say the child is never going to walk. They said, that's okay. We have no problem. We'll come get her. They said, we know a church where we pray and God answers.
Amen.
So they come, got the little girl and brought her home and brought her out here to us. And after we broke the curses over this child, because the mother and father of this child was not walking in obedience to God's word. So they was not ready to repent of sin. They had no idea that their sin is what made this child like this. But because of their sins, of all the different sins they had, this little girl was not going to be able to walk. So they go get her and adopt her and bring her out here. And we pray the prayer of faith over this child. We break the curses over this child and pray a blessing over this child. And just within a few weeks after that, she starts crawling. And then a few weeks after that, she starts walking. And now then she's 8 years old. And she's up here singing and all the stuff. How many of y'all would have ever known this little girl had all these issues? Now, what can our God do? But He can do it only if we believe. Is that right? I am a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Is that what the Master said? So when we come to Him and ask Him for something, we have got to be able to see beyond the flesh. Because if we only see what the flesh is when we pray, now we just prayed, we didn't go to no doctor. The doctors, they had already had her to the doctors and told her she ain't never gonna walk. So we went to the one and only doctor that's invisible, that you can't physically see. And by faith, we believed that He could do and would do exactly what He promised in His word. And by believing with no doubt, in days, just in a couple few weeks, she's crawling. Then next thing you know, she's walking. Then next thing you know, she's running. Next thing you know, she's outrunning her brothers. You know, she's faster than all of them. She's riding horses now and everything else, you know. Isn't it awesome, ladies and gentlemen, to have a God that answers prayer? I mean, I praise Him and thank Him that we serve a God that answers prayer. I mean, but you have to come to Him and get rid of your sin and pray in faith and stand on His word and do what it says. And I was amazed yesterday after I went over so many promises in that 2.5 or 3 hours that I taught the word of God. And it's normal. 2/3 of the people that came up for prayer after we finished, when I'd say, what verse are you going to base your faith on? They couldn't think of one. Not one. Now, probably only went over 50, you know, but they couldn't think of one. And I think, wow, isn't that something? You know, but God said in His word, He wants, what does He want? An intimate relationship with us, right? He wants us to be intimate with Him. He wants us to, you know, to crawl in His Word, snuggle up with Him, and say, Lord, show me something today. And boy, if you'll get in the Word like that, He will show you things just like this little story right here. You save. That's just in the last couple of verses at the end of James 5. I mean, after he talks about getting healed. You know, I mean, if we were to go back, we would read that. But right now it says, brethren, if any of you err from the truth. Now, does any of us err from the truth? Oh, my goodness gracious. How unfortunate. And one converts him. So if, and here's something that if a man and a woman that are married, they're always together or a lot of the time together. If one of you does something that's not right, what should the other one immediately do? In love, say, honey, look here, you just erred from the truth. Now then, if we're men and women of God, we should receive that. You know, instead of saying, well, if you think you're so smart, do you know that's what people do? Yeah, when somebody says something, just instead of walking in love and saying, wow, I needed you to tell me that, because the scripture says, if you convert me or change me from my error of the way, that I've erred from the truth, you're going to save me from dying. Now, should you have the best interest of your mate at heart? So we need to learn to listen to our mates. Now then, even if you don't have a mate, you know, if you've got a brother or sister in Christ, if one of them sees you doing something that's not right and they tell you, you should receive it with love and repent and get back on track, right? Because that's what the Lord told us to do here. He said, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Wow. That is just amazing. I want us to go to Galatians 3, start with verse 1 through 14. And I want to show you some things here in Galatians. We've been talking about the law and grace lately. And Galatians 3 starts off. Now, you wouldn't think a man of God would talk to the people like this. Let me tell you, my dear. Well, that ain't what he said, was it? He got right in your face. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Now, see, we don't like for somebody to talk to us like that, do we? But Paul said, oh, you foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? In other words, who are you listening to? It seems like every time you go to a different church, you get a different theology, and all of a sudden, that's what you believe. You need to be well-founded in the Word of God to know what the Word says. Don't listen to what a man tells you unless he can confirm what he says from this book. Amen. You know, if they tell you something, if it's not written in God's Word, don't believe it, you know, because he's usually wrong. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Well, what is the truth? The Word of God. I mean, if you're standing on the Word of God, if the Word of God says that to do this, then what should you do? You should do this. Exactly. If it tells you not to do this, if anybody in the church had ever read this scripture that we went over in Hebrews, and the only thing you remembered, the adulterers he will judge. That ought to scare your socks off, and you should never, I mean, if you're a guy, in fact, one time there was a lady over at Lakeland Baptist Church when I used to go over there and I was a deacon over there. The married women were talking about sex in their Sunday school class. And this lady, which was a very beautiful woman, she looked at my wife and said, Betty, I have one thing to say about your husband. Now, this is in the class. Betty don't have a clue what she's fixing to say. She said, I believe with all my heart that if I was in a room and I was totally nude and your husband was having to come in through the door and close the door and it locked and he couldn't get, and he turned and saw me there, I believe he would turn his back, take his coat off and back up and hand it to me to cover up, and he would not look at me. That day when we went to go to dinner, my wife crawled in and scooted over real close to me, put her arm around me and said, honey, I sure do love you. But she asked the lady, she says, why do you believe that about Thurman? She said, because I know I'm a very attractive woman. God made me like that. And she says, every time Thurman looks at me, he's always looking at me in my eyes. She said, I have never seen Thurman look at me nowhere except in my eyes. She said, now other men in this church, they never look at me from the neck up. They're only looking from the neck down to the floor and back up. She said, some men in this church that are deacons and elders and everything else, they call themselves Christians. She said, they undress me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet to look at me. And she said, but Thurman, when I look at him, he's always looking me in the eyes. So I could trust him with my life. What does that make a wife feel good?
Yes.
That he's got eyes only for this one.
Yeah.
Now then, if this one's in the bathroom totally nude, I might look at her. Whoa, would I ever look at her? Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the way God made us. Is that right, guys? I mean, she's yours, right? Amen. You have legal right to that one. The scripture says her body is not her own. It belongs to who? Me. And my body is not my own. It belongs to her. That's the scripture. So, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So it doesn't make any difference. You have to know the scripture to know how to walk in holiness and obedience to God's word. But it says here, O you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you, this only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive it? And what these people are doing, they're doing exactly what so many people are doing today. They're leaving the Spirit of God and the grace of God and going back to try to keep the law. I mean, it's all over. I see it all kinds of places. In fact, I was on television with four men, and I think they were, well, I don't guess they were all Messianic, but some of them were. Some of them were Messianic Jews, and some of them were just regular Baptists, but they were all PhDs but me. I mean, I don't have a PhD in nothing except Bible. You know, I feel like I have a PhD in the Bible, but I may not have. But anyway, I had a lady the other day call me. She said, Dr. Scrivener. I said, ma'am, only calls Jesus doctor. I'm not a doctor. She said, you don't have a doctorate degree? I said, no. She said, I've never seen a man that knows more about the Bible than you. Well, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of them out there know a whole lot more about it than I do, I'll tell you for sure. But I had just hit some of her places, so she was impressed with what she heard. But I told her, I said, ma'am, don't call me a doctor because I'm not one. I said, Jesus is the only doctor, real doctor, that I know. So anyway, when we look at this, we think about what he's saying here. This would I learn of you. In other words, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now then, when I was on the set with these four men, that first night I was on there, I didn't hardly say a word I was on there like 5 or 6 hours a day for 5 days with these men. And the first day I hardly said anything. I let them do all the talking. But that later that afternoon, one of them asked me something. And when he did, you know, what did you think about the book, you know, that was written, and I can't even think of the name of the book now, was it 40 Days of Purpose or something like that, about working with God? And, you know, and it said, when it says, one of the questions in there is, what kind of an experience have you had with God today? I said, well, gee, that's a tough one. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, let me give you an example. I said, there's a grandmother and her grandfather called me and said, we got a little grandson that we're having to keep, our son and daughter, and whichever way it was, one of their children, either their daughter or their son, had shacked up with some other guy or girl, and they had this little boy, and then they didn't want him, so they just brought him home to grandma and granddad. Now, grandma and granddad, they wasn't in the condition to raise a little 10-year-old boy. But the kids didn't want him. So he's either going to come to Grandma and Grandpa's house or he ain't going to have nothing. So I said, yeah, I said, they brought this baby, this boy to me. And I said, first of all, they called me and said, this child, we don't know what to do with him. He won't obey anything we tell him to do. He's mean. I said, oh, he just got a devil. I said, he's got a devil by legal right. And of course, I'm talking things that these guys don't ever talk about. And I said, you know, but I said, bring the boy to me. I said, I'll get him set free. So they brought him. I said, we're having a healing school Saturday. And this was like a Thursday when they called. I said, bring the boy to me. And so they brought the boy to me. And when they did, they sat through the entire healing school 5 hours. And then after it was over, they came up for prayer. And I said, well, where's the boy? They said, we're the grandparents that called you. And we got this little 10-year-old grandson, 8 or 9 or 10, whatever he was. And said, he's totally rebellious. He won't do anything we say. I said, well, where is he? I said, oh, he's back there playing somewhere. I said, well, call him. And they said, little John, come up here. And so he come running up there, and he's come walking up there. And I said, I knelt down on my knees in front of him so I'd be about the same height he was. I said, are you a Christian? No. I said, how would you like to become a Christian and accept Jesus into your life? He said, I'm not interested. So I said, you enjoy doing what you're doing? He said, yes. I said, well, now I want to show you a scripture. Luke 10:19-20. I want to show you this scripture. Look at this. And then we'll come back to here in the Galatians. But look at this. Behold, now this is Jesus talking too. And he's talking to you and me. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, first of all, who's the serpent and who's the scorpions? Satan and his host of demons, right? Okay, so, and this is this a spiritual battle we're fighting? Can you see these demons? No, you can't see them. You can't see God. You know, there's a spiritual realm that's around us that we cannot see. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Now, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits or the evil spirits are subject unto you. Now then, if God tells me a demon is subject to me, I believe that. Don't you? So here I am on my knees with this little guy right here. And I said, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? I'm not interested. I don't want nothing to do with him. I reached up and grabbed him by the shoulders and I said, come out of him, you spirit of hell that's blinded his mind. I take authority over you. I said, come out and leave this boy and never enter him again. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. And I led the boy to Jesus right there. And 2 or 3, 4, 5 weeks later, the grandmother and granddaddy called and said, he's the best little boy. He's just totally a new boy. So see, he become a new creature. And I told him, I said, these are the kind of things Jesus does in my life. And these guys were offended at me. Wow. One of them the next night came to me and said, you know, when you told that story, he said, I was offended. He said, I've never seen anybody that knew they had that kind of power. I said, you guys ought to be reading the New Testament. You need to get out of the law. I said, under the law, you don't get this kind of power. You only get this kind of power walking in grace, being led by the Spirit of God. And they were all upset with me. And of course, when one of those men finally got to become a director of GLC, guess who he took off of GLC? Me, I'm removed. I'm not there anymore. I've been there 10 years, but I ain't there no more. Because when somebody gets in a place of power that don't believe the Word of God, when I look at that, behold, I give unto you power. Who's talking there? Jesus is talking there. And who is he talking to? Us. If Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and nothing by any means shall hurt you, who am I going to believe? Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus. But do you know, I read that a lot of times when I didn't believe it. You know, I was raised in a Baptist church and they never talk about things like this in the Baptist church. I never saw that. So if your pastor is not teaching you the principles of the kingdom, then you think, you're just like I was when I was a person going to the Baptist church. I thought the pastors, which were trained at seminary, knew everything. So whatever they said was the way it was. And it might have been about some of the things they taught, but when you got over into the power of the Word and casting out demons, whoa, we don't go there. I tell you, it's fun going there. I love going there. I love praying for a little girl like that and see the result. Don't you, Scott? Yeah, we all do. I mean, just look at that beautiful little thing. She can run and play and do anything she wants to do. But every time somebody gets healed in this ministry, I love it. Don't you?
Amen.
And of course, some of those were you. You know, you, some of you that are here today, you know, you've been healed by God at this ministry. Just like I was telling Dave on the way from the airport, I said, one thing about it, Dave, there ain't nobody ever would be able to get through to you to convince you that Jesus is not the healer, is there? He said, after what God did for me in my healing, he said, there ain't no way you'd ever convince me of anything else. Well, just like you with your back and your little daughter, there's no way, Scott, that anybody could confirm that to you that Jesus is not the healer, is there?
No.
No, he could not convince you. You know the truth now. And so, isn't it amazing? Okay, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Are you so foolish? Now, I thought we're supposed to be such loving, kind people. He sounded to me like he's pretty hard on us. Oh, you foolish Galatians, are you so foolish? I mean, you're supposed to be doing this in love, Paul. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the law, by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it is to be yet in vain? But that's what happens. In fact, I'll just tell you, I got saved never knowing that there was such a thing as law and grace. And so for most of my life, you know, especially the Ten Commandments, I thought, you know, I don't know which one of these laws to keep. There's 600 and something of them in the Jewish law. Isn't that right, Scott? About 600 and something of them. And I don't know which one to keep. I don't even know what they all are. You know, so I thought, am I supposed to keep these? And then somebody told me one day, Thurman, if you just keep the Ten Commandments, you'll be okay. Okay. I'm going to try everything I can to keep the Ten Commandments. I never, ever saw God do anything miraculous while I'm trying my best to keep the Ten Commandments. Why do you think that is? Because you think I ever messed up? Of course I did, on a regular basis, just like you have. So one day I said, Lord, I do not understand why there is absolutely no power in what I'm doing. Lord, I'm walking in obedience to your word. I mean, I don't have any power. You know, I can't cast out a demon. I'd never seen a demon, submit to me. You know, I had never prayed for the sick. I mean, I'm in church, but I do not understand why this won't work. And so I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what am I doing wrong? He says, you're not walking, being led by the Spirit. I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I really don't. And so I'm going to have a little more help. Well, when you get in the Word, are you so foolish that you begun in the Spirit? When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I started out in the Spirit. I received Jesus by faith. Could I see Him? No, I couldn't see Him, so I received Him by faith, and I started out in the Spirit. Now, are you now made perfect by the flesh or by the law? And so I'm tending to go back to keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments. You know, those are good, right? Yeah, so I think, well, if I keep these Ten Commandments, surely I'll make God happy. So anyway, I tried that, and that didn't help none. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Verse 5 and 6. He therefore that ministereth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, who is that? That's Jesus. Jesus, he's using the Holy Spirit to minister to me, to teach me how things work. And he said, the Spirit, and he worked miracles among you. Okay, now, wait a minute. Now, I have not seen a miracle. I've never, you know, let me ask you this question. How many of you have been saved for more than 2 or 3 or 4 years and have absolutely never seen God do a healing or a miracle in your own life? If you've never, is there anybody in here that's never seen him do a healing or a miracle? Wow, okay, y'all are not normal. You know, praise God. What a problem to have in the church, Michael. Now if I'd asked that question just a few years ago, you could have been one of those, right?
Many years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mike told me, he said, I think he said he went to some church for 14 years and never saw healing or miracles. Is that right? Something like that, 14 years. And he came over here, and him and Gracie started hearing the principles of the kingdom, and he had a back problem, and she prayed for him, and he got instantly healed. He's been healed ever since. So now then, guess what they pray for now? Gracie, what do y'all pray about?
Everything.
But see, you step back into the Spirit, right? You're being led by the Spirit of God. He said, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now then, how many of these things work under law? None of them. Why do you think that nobody walked in this power under the old law? I mean, the men, even the priests, they didn't see any miracles. I mean, they did not walk in power, did they? I think about Elijah. He done 8 miracles. God allowed him to do 8. And Elisha, his counterpart, whenever he said, I want a double portion of what you have. Now this man has seen 8 miracles and he's getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And he said, well, if you see me go, you're going to be granted your wish. Well, did he get to see him go? Yes, he did. Fiery chariot come down, picked him up, whoosh, and he's gone off. And in his lifetime, he done 16 healings or 16 miracles. Now, that's what he asked for. Now, then at one time, if you'd have told me, Thurman, would you like to have that anointing that you could do 16 miracles in your lifetime? I said, I'll take it, but not anymore. I have seen 16 miracles in one day. Now, is that awesome or is that awesome? Now, how did I do it? By keeping the law, or was I over here in the faith realm with Jesus? I was in the faith realm with Jesus. I was doing everything according to faith. Is that right? When you do things according to faith, who shows up?
Jesus.
That's exactly right. Now then, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7 and 8. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Just think, right there, the Lord even called you and me heathen. Were we heathens? Yeah, well, were we ever? I mean to tell you. But God would justify the heathen through the law. Oh, that's not what he said, huh? Oh, that's why you have to be careful, right? You have to really be careful who you listen to. Okay, so it did say faith, didn't it? He'll justify you by faith, not by the law. Then verse 9 and 10, let's see what he says there. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now then, all of the promises of God, which are yes and amen to all of us, they only work if we receive them by faith. You have to receive these things by faith. And what does it mean to receive it by faith? You read the promises in the Word, and you believe they mean what they say. That's faith, right? If you believe what he said, then that's faith, and it will produce great results. Now then, when you learn to operate in faith, and I like to tell stories about people, and I love to tell these on Michael and Gracie, since they are fairly new in this faith walk, really in the real faith walk. Now, they've been Christians for a long time. Is that right, Michael? But you've not been faith-believing Christians for a very long period of time yet, right? Okay. Now see, when they begin to hear this, that we could do something by faith, if God made a promise in His Word, and we stand on that promise, if we get rid of all of our unbelief, and of course that's usually the biggest sin we got is unbelief. You know that? That's probably what kept y'all from getting any prayer answered for all those years, because you didn't understand how it worked. So you had that unbelief in there, which never brought forth the miracles of God. Never. But whenever they begin to hear that we walk in faith. So now then we take a promise. Well, what about this promise of Matthew 18, 19? What about this promise? Again, what does that say, Gracie? Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about what?
Anything
you ask me for, it will be done for you. Well, see, they're hearing this and believing now. They're learning how to walk in faith. And that day, Michael's down in his back. He's hurting so bad he can't hardly stand it. And he's got to quit working. And she says, but honey, you know, Thurman told us that Jesus said. Now, see, that's where you really get in trouble. When Thurman said, Jesus said. Is that right? Yeah. That if two of us on earth agreed about anything, it's done. Now, Thurman didn't say that, did he? I was just repeating what the king said, right? And so she said, why don't we do that? And so she reached over and laid hands on his back and prayed the prayer of faith. And the minute she thanked the Lord for Michael's healing, Michael was instantly healed. And he hadn't had no back troubles since, have you, Michael?
Amen.
Now that taught them how to walk in faith. In other words, to walk in faith, you take God's principles of His Word and you stand on them and you pray and then you thank the King for your answer and then you go do whatever you want to do in your freedom you have. I don't care what it is, but you have to believe it. You have to believe it. And if you don't believe it, what happens? Nothing. That's absolutely right, Bill. You have to have faith. And you cannot say, well, let's try this. Let's try Jesus and see how this works. No. I found nothing in the Word where it says, let's try Jesus. It says we do Jesus, right?
Right.
Yeah. But He's merciful. He is very merciful. He will do great and wonderful things through us. For as many as us are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, so if you're under the law, you're under a curse. Now then, if you have stepped out of grace and you've stepped back under the law, in fact, let me ask you this question. Let's say that, well, of course, Paul in a minute is going to tell us that if you add even circumcision to Jesus, you fell from grace and you fell back under the law. So, if I add anything to my salvation other than Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus, what have I done? Okay, so I have to be circumcised or I can't be saved. That's the law, right? Okay, if that's the law and I'm trying to keep the law, Paul says that Christ is nothing to me. I have fell from grace. So let's just say that scripture that I used last Sunday, I guess it was, or Sunday before last, that was in Romans 10, 4, I believe it was, where it says, Christ is the end of the law. In fact, let's go there and read that. I want to show you that. For Christ is the end of the law. Now, that is where I stopped. I didn't even read the rest of the verse. But the Lord convicted me after church was over, you need to read the rest of that. And so I went in and opened it up, and it says, for Christ is the end of the law, for the righteousness to everyone that believes. So Christ is not the end of the law for everybody. He's only the end of the law for those that are believers and that believe that He's the end of the law. Is that right? Okay, so what if I don't believe He's the end of the law and it's all finished in Christ? I don't need anything else except Jesus Christ. Then guess what I've just done? I've just sinned. And when I sin, I fall back under the law. And when I fall back under the law, where is the curse? Under the law. And so guess why so many Christians are sick? Guess why Michael was down with his back? He was still under the law. He didn't realize what he had, and they were not walking in faith. So by not walking in faith, he was under the curse, and the curse put a pain in his back, and he had all that pain and suffering all that time. But when he stepped into faith and he started praying in faith, the Lord forgave him. healed him, and he hadn't had a back problem since. But you heard what she said they pray over now? What do they pray over?
Everything.
Is that scripture?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Pray over everything with? What's that, Gracie? With what? With thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Don't never fail to pray and thank him. Right, Michael? You always pray and thank the Lord for what he does. So, let's go back to where we were there in Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law, you're under the curse. Now then, if you're walking in grace and faith, Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross. So there ain't supposed to be any sickness and disease under grace. If I'm walking in love, walking in obedience to his word, and I'm walking that narrow path that Jesus says the pathway to life is, what did he say?
Narrow.
Narrow. And how many find it?
Few.
Well, let us be the ones that find it, right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we want to spend enough time with God that we learn these principles. I don't know about you, but I want to walk that straight and narrow path. I want to walk with that pathway that says there's no sickness there. He's already bore my sickness. He's already bore my sin there. As long as I'm walking there, I can't sin. Isn't that awesome? I cannot sin. I am dead to sin. I'm alive to righteousness. And Paul says, how in can a dead man sin? He said, you cannot sin walking under that. You know, but you ask the average Christian, do you think you sin? Oh, every day. Well, if you say you sin every day, let me tell you what, you need to get in the Word. You need to say, Lord, I repent for that. I'm going to walk in grace. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk on that narrow pathway. I'm going to believe with all my heart that you bore my sin. And see, if you bore my sin and I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to righteousness, then Paul said, a dead man can't sin. If I can stay dead, there ain't supposed to be no sin in my life. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was with my family in Illinois. My mother's from Illinois, and we were staying there at this rest of his inn. And that night, apparently my mother had fallen, and I didn't think much of it. We had two double beds, and my parents were on one bed, and I was on the other. And I was starting to fall asleep, and I had my Bible with me on my bed. Well, in this vision, this praying mantis was looking at me through the fence, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and he said, turn in your Bible to Romans 3, 18 through 31. And I did, and there's 31 chapters in that Bible. I mean, in Romans 8, 3, it goes to 31.
Yeah, verses. 31
verses.
Yeah.
Well, it talks about it says there is no fear of God before their eyes is how it starts out with. And it talks about the faith and knowledge of, it said under the law, you have the knowledge of sin. But Christ is the end of the law. He establishes it. So, and that was, my mother had broken her hip that day. And I didn't know when we traveled back to Texas, she had a broken hip. But anyway, the Lord helped her make it. She was hobbling around, but she didn't know her hip was broken.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord.
But anyway, the light shone on my Bible so I could read it. It was dark in that room. And
God tries to reveal his word to us many ways, doesn't he?
Yes, I keep saying this knowledge of sin is in the law, under the law. We're under the law, but we're really under the law of Christ, under the faith in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That
establishes
we are under the law of faith. We're not under the law of sin and death. And so that's what a lot of people get confused, that we're under the law of faith and not the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death will bring forth death. But this other law of faith will bring forth life and righteousness. And that's where we're supposed to be walking. So praise the Lord. For as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11 and 12. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, anytime we have a problem, Michael, since I just keep using y'all as an example, since you're a perfect example, I could use anybody in here almost. But when you learn to do things by faith, instead of trying to do things by the law, when you pray for, you pray for Gracie or Gracie prays for you, your answer comes, doesn't it? And not only just for each other, y'all can pray for anything. I can remember one day Michael was telling me about, after he learned how to pray, that some young lady had a car that was messing up, and she'd already spent a lot of money trying to get it fixed and couldn't get it fixed. So he told her he'd come get his car and get her car and haul it on a trailer out to his shop. And he got out there and he said, "Lord, you need to help me find the problem with this car, because this lady has spent a lot of money on this thing and they've not been able to fix it. So I need you to show me how to fix it, and fix it very inexpensive so I can take it back to her and give it to her in Jesus' name," or something like that. He prayed and the Lord immediately revealed him what was wrong with it. And I think it was a rotor button or something like that that only cost $3 or $4. He took the distributor cap off, found the problem almost immediately, went and got the new part, put it on her, fixed it, and took it back to her, and didn't even charge her for transportation to haul it back and forth, and also gave her the part and the labor for free to fix her car.
Amen.
Now then, how did nobody else could fix it. How could he fix it that quick? He's a man led by the Lord, by the Spirit of God. He learned to pray with thanksgiving, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him what the problem was. If we could all learn how to do that, Michael, how much money we could save, right?
Amen.
But is those promises just for Michael and Gracie?
No,
they're for all of us. They're for all of us. If we will learn how to pray and pray in faith. But so much of the time when we pray, we don't pray in faith. We pray in unbelief, or we will pray the problem, and we will not thank God for the answer. You know, we go away not believing. You know, I see this all the time when I pray for people. Do you believe you have your answer? I sure do hope so. If it's God's will. No, that don't work. You've got to know. He is a faith God. He's put us into this realm of faith. And if we don't learn to do things in faith according to His Word, you'll see God do almost nothing. Almost nothing. In fact, I was talking to Ed a while ago. He came into my office. We were talking, and as we were talking about the power of God, and he was asking me to pray for somebody, and I told him, okay, I would. And as we were talking, I don't know exactly what spurred us to talk about this, but I said something about, you know the power of prayer works, don't you, Ed? He said, "Thurman, when I came to your church the first time and I saw your granddaughter," he said, that's all it took for me. He said, "When I saw that granddaughter walking," and he said, I knew right there was a power that's available out there that I'd never come in contact with, but that little girl was impossible, and I saw her walking and running," and he said, "I thought, that's it. I don't need to see another miracle, never. That one, I mean, brain stem severed, eyes jerked out of her brain, skull crushed in five places, and she's healed. Let me tell you, I'm telling you, somebody a whole lot bigger than the doctor put that little girl back together. And I know it could have been nobody but Jesus." He said, "It's over for me." He said, "I know healing works." Isn't that amazing? Ed wouldn't have made a good Israelite. Because he made note, he said, they saw God do all kinds of miracles. Is that right? And then, did they believe? No. I mean, the little bitty one they saw was when he opened the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Tony, that's just a little bitty miracle, isn't it? You know, some of us are a little hard-headed, more hard-headed than others, right? I've been there and done that, folks, let me tell you for sure. And I'm trying to learn not to be so hard-headed. I'm trying to learn to listen to God and hear His voice, because it's amazing. The just shall live by faith. Is that supposed to be us?
Yes.
We are the just. We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to trust Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, that means trust Him for everything.
Amen.
That doesn't mean trust somebody else. And I hate to say this, but it doesn't mean trust doctors either. It means trust Jesus. I tell you what, I told a man the other day that stopped in here. He had cancer. And I spent 5 hours with him and his family. And I showed him what his problem was. It was unforgiveness. And I said, "You get rid of that sin, then I will pray for you. And by faith, these scriptures work." By faith. Well, I asked him when I got through, because you know this one scripture I love to use, James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7? Look at what this says, James 1, 6 and 7, then we'll come back to verse 13 and 14 of Galatians 3. But let him ask in faith, how much wavering? How much? How much? Do you reckon he really means that? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man or that woman think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. If you don't come to him in faith, what's he going to do for you? Nothing. The just are going to live by
faith.
What does that mean? To live in his word. So if you two need a prayer for one of your babies, what do, Scott? You go to the word. And you take that word and you pray it over one of your children or your wife, and God shows up, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you don't need to go to a doctor. You don't need to go nowhere else. All you need is the best doctor in the world. And he can do anything, can't he, Weston? If we can believe. Well, then, Lord, why could we not heal this boy? He said, because of your unbelief. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So guess what? Them boys ain't no different than us, right? Our unbelief. It's sad, the unbelief that we have. We really don't believe these promises that God put in there. But that's why so few of us get our answers. When you believe by faith, it's there. Okay, let's go back to Galatians 3, where we were there, in verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want you to think about that. Did Christ redeem us from sin? Yes. When you learn that Christ redeemed you from sin, you come to Jesus, and remember the plan of reconciliation. It's over in 2 Corinthians when you find he said, and at this point, I've given you the plan of reconciliation, and I'm not holding your sins against you. So as wicked as we were, and how many of us were wicked? Every one of us. And some of us lived a little longer without knowing Jesus, and some of us were really a lot more wicked than others, right? I mean, but how many of those sins, just think, while you're lost, how many of those sins is Jesus holding against you? None of them. No, he's not holding none of those against you. Just think, the message of reconciliation, I am not holding your sins against you. Now think. Michael, let's say you've been 40 years old before you come to Jesus. If in 40 years without Jesus, you reckon you might have sinned a time or two? Unbelievably about, right? Ain't no two ways about it. You can't, I don't care how good you are. You're going to sin somehow, some way, on a regular basis. How many of those sins was God holding against you? None of those. Isn't that something? You live your whole life. Say you live to be 90 and you never come to Jesus. Up to the day you die, how many of those sins is he holding against you? None of them. But you die. Now then, what's he going to do with all those sins that you never asked him to forgive you? He's going to judge you with those. He's going to hold those against you. You're going to stand before the seat of God and you're going to be judged. And he'll know every sin you committed for those 90 years that you turned him down. And he'll judge you for every one of them. But let's say at 40 years of age, you come to Jesus and you say, Lord, I want you to, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Right there at that point, how many of those sins that you committed, how many does he take away? Wow, is that good news, friend? I mean, he washed you clean. You got a beautiful white robe on now. There ain't a black spot on it nowhere. You're a precious, beautiful, I mean, woman of God, washed in the blood and clean and pure. But now then, the problem is to stay there, right? Now then, as long as we can walk in faith and walk in love, we can walk through life with that gown. So what if we forget and get out of love just a little bit here and get a little black spot on our white robe? What do we got to do? Repent, of course, Kim. That's the secret. Repent, Lord. I'm sorry. I ask to forgive you. He takes his blood, and I never understand how he can take red blood and wash it on a white robe and it come out clean and white again. I don't know how that happens. But if he said he could do that, he can do that, right? And so he makes us white as snow. So the problem is to walk by faith. Once you get saved, and Jesus now, from this day forward, if you sin, he'll hold it against you. I mean, you're his child now, and he will hold that against you. But the minute you sin, if you do exactly what Kim said, you immediately repent, he immediately washes it away, and we go on. We press on, and he does not hold that against us. So when we get to heaven, when we get to the end of our life, how many sins do we want in our life that's unconfessed?
None.
We want to be clean and pure by the blood of Jesus, right? So when we go home, there'll be nothing to judge us for. So we'll be clean. So we got it all taken care of. Then he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now think about this. I have used these two verses to get so many people healed. It's just absolutely mind-boggling the number of people I've got healed with these two verses. If you were 40 years old or 20 years old when you got saved, at the point that you come to Jesus for salvation, we all just discussed all of your sins he forgave, right? How many of your sickness and disease and how many of your curses did he take away at the same time?
All.
Okay, then why is it not that every Christian that gets saved, if they're sick, they get healed at the same time? Why do they not? That bugged me for a long, long time. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. If I'm understanding what I'm reading right, then when I get saved, every sin I ever committed is washed away. And I said, but Lord, according to Galatians 3, I was redeemed from every curse also. But Lord, I've led people to Jesus that were sick and they got saved, but they didn't get healed. So I don't understand that. I said, Lord, they should have got saved and healed at the same time. And he told me, he said, they did. They just didn't know it. He said, it's impossible. And I've used this phrase many times because he told me, he said, it's impossible for people to receive something by faith that they don't know belongs to them. Is that true? So if you don't know Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease and took the curse for you on the cross, you still got it. But if you know he already done it, then guess what? I'll tell you an awesome story. There was a lady that was in a wheelchair. And she called in on Daystar when we was on the prayer lines. I went over to her house, her and her husband. She's in a wheelchair. I went over there and I sat down with this couple. I began to show them as children of God how that Jesus had already bore her sickness and removed her disease on the cross. And he said that in Matthew 8:17, right? If Jesus said, I bore your sin, did he bear your sin? If I bore your sickness, did he bear your sickness?
Yes.
Then why in the world does this woman still have it in a wheelchair? You know, so I tried to tell her. I said, ma'am, the problem is you got saved years ago, but you didn't realize that Jesus redeemed you from the curse at the same time. I said, he redeemed you from the curse. He said in his word, he's already bore your sickness and removed your disease. So I said, now he's waiting for you to receive it by faith. She looked at me and she said, that's too simple, Thurman. That can't be true. I showed her everything in the word. She said, I know why I'm still in a wheelchair. I said, why? She said, because some of God's promises are yes for some people and no for others. I said, man, that's not true. That's not true at all. I said, if you've repented of your sin, I said, your unbelief is what's keeping you there. I said, if I could show you a scripture in God's word that said all of his promises are yes and amen. She said, well, if there was such a scripture as that, I could get healed. I said, I got one. She said, there's no such verse like that in the Bible. I've read it several times. I said, oh, yes, there is. 2 Corinthians, where's it at? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For how many of the promises of God?
All.
For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. And I showed that to her. And this little woman is looking at that. And she's reading that over. And she looked over at her husband and she says, honey, he's right. That's what it says. Closed the Bible, laid it down, raised both hands and said, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you that you healed me on the cross. I just now learned it. I want to thank you that I don't have to be in this wheelchair no more. I thank you that I can walk. She just began to worship and praise the Lord. Finally, after several, 10, 15, 20 minutes, I said, well, ma'am,
You praise him enough, get out of the wheelchair. And she says, honey, would you come over and give me a hand? Her husband came over there and he took her by the hand and just give her a little nudge, and she just jumped out and just walked right out of that wheelchair. And that woman, as far as I know, is still walking today. Now see, she was held there because she didn't know the promises of God. She was held there because she didn't know that Jesus had already bore it. He had redeemed her from the curse. He took that away. Look what it says here. That, go back to that Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham, which includes all kinds of health, wealth, and prosperity, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You've got to receive it by faith. And when she got a hold of it, just think, I don't know how many years this woman sat in that wheelchair. Had no idea that the price had already been paid for her healing. But when she finally got it, what did Jesus say he sent forth and healed us? What did he say he sent? He sent what? His word. That's what he sent, exactly. To let you know I've already done it. It's not in my, I'm going to do it in the future. You don't have to wait for me to do it. It's done. I've already done it for you. I paid the price on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. I bore your sin on the cross 2,000 years ago. If Jesus bore our sin and bore our sickness and everything else 2,000 years ago, then why in the world is about 98% of the world on the way to hell? Because they've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why? Unbelief. Is that right, Weston? As a good Baptist preacher, and me as an ex-Baptist, we will be in complete belief that any human being comes to Jesus and asks him to save him, he'll never turn one of them down, will he?
Never has, never will.
Never has, never will. But he'll do the same thing for healing when they come to him by faith.
He sure will.
Exactly the same thing. Just like that little lady, she read that over and over and over. And then she finally got it. She closed her Bible and handed it to her husband, and she began to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to be in this wheelchair no more. See, it soaked in, didn't it? And she received her healing by faith. And like I say, it must have been 15 or 20 minutes. It seemed like an eternity. She was just sitting there with her hands raised, praising God. Lord, thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that I don't have to be under this curse no more. Thank you that I don't have to be in this wheelchair. I'm so grateful that you've healed me. I finally said, woman, why don't you get up and walk? It's like I did Johnny Brumfield that time, right? When I reached down and grabbed him by the hand, I said, get up. And of course, Johnny started up and he, oh, it hurts. I said, don't believe the pain, just get up. And I just jerked him up and he stood up and began to run all over that church, and Johnny's still healed. How did he do that? By keeping the law or by faith?
By faith.
By faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, that's what I, Father, I thank you. Lord, I have so much fun when I teach the word. I can't possibly stop at 4 o'clock. I don't even know. Oh, Lord. Lord, your word is so awesome. I'm like Charlie, Lord. I can't go to sleep in this church. Lord, I praise you and thank you and worship you that you're the mighty King. You're always doing something in this place, and I worship you and praise you and thank you for doing these wonderful things. Now, Lord, I ask you, I want to praise you and thank you in advance for the rain. I want to praise you and thank you in advance for taking care of the Syrian problem we got over there. And praise you and thank you for watching over Israel. And there'll be no more people killed by rockets or none of that stuff. But Lord, there will be peace. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for blessing us and blessing us in this church. And I ask you to challenge each one of us this week that we'll get in the Word, spend more time with you, and we'll hear your promises, and then we'll go out and do something to lead people to Jesus, get them saved, healed, and delivered. And Lord, I thank you that you're the mighty God, that you're the King of Kings, we're the children of the King, and we're the body and you're the head, and we're to do things to fulfill your word on this earth. And I praise you and thank you for using all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.